Did you call me before?
Made me think of it. Besides me, that big young gun I have been on too well over the years, and yet my highest is everything was I worked in the booth, I never drank very much, but she did. She was an old one from the old buckle she was in. And anyway, we got on, you know, after its style, but oh, some of the things I heard him talking about after that funeral, I never forgot, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, mind you, my sisters, they were all right, but I was always up on earth in my family, you know. I never sort of clicked at all. As a matter of fact, the old girl, my mother, you know, when she was alive, she used to say I was, you know, dick the rest of them. Actually, I look back on it, I could see now I was. I was a quieter family. I was all out for a good time and all. Rather than trying to go round to the boozers at night, you know, and complicate me there. Funny thing was, you know, though I worked in the brewery, it was a joke about that. I was never one to a drinking. I had a very social life, but I never met anybody.
Well, what happened after that when you got downstairs at the place?
Oh, yes.
What happened when you got
downstairs? Oh, I heard a mess in the way about one thing and the other, about insurance policies, and God knows what else, about a funeral, and whether I should be buried with the old lady or what, you know. Anyway, I remember the funeral very well. It was a nice old day. I didn't really think of people like taking my funeral. It came down in time. So, yeah. I should never go in the notebook, you know. I went with him in the carriage, which we had horses in those days,
yeah.
I sat there, you know, and it made me laugh. You know, they were following me, and I was riding with them. You might say, well, they didn't know I was there once or twice. I think they said that, you know, they felt it was a bit shitty, and I put some wet on all that, so they thought it was heading. I don't know, they thought it was, well, they couldn't thought it was making, but...
Mm-hmm.
That's a funny thing when you get people don't know how real things can be and how much what keeps you in the way you are. This is it for the first time you're hearing properly and in a sense in the way you're seeing properly too. Because you're seeing everything, not just what is there in front of you, but you're sort of seeing into people. Oh, I know a few things about my dad and I never do. Very nice thoughts, you know.
Well, after the funeral, what happened to you then?
Oh, well, the old lady, she'd been around, you know. She'd been dead some few years, and she kept coming to me, and she said, you're not staying here. I said, well, well, I'm staying here, where am I going? She said, you come with me. So, oh, I didn't think we must point today, maybe to the private house or something. I mean, they all seem to be enjoying themselves after the funeral. They were having their own dinner. And they all have to get out of the apartment. That didn't impress me very much. And my mother says, you might just get out of the way, you don't stay here. And I said, well, I don't make any tale. And she says, you will, I'm not in the nursery. She says, come on. She says, so I said, well, it's all very well. She said, come on. I said, where are we going? She says, we're going away from all this. So I said, oh, well, you know, I just couldn't come on at all. Anyway, she says, close your eyes. And everything was, although I've seen the cousin from Bershire, and she looked as she was all many years back when I was a nipper. But a few other people there that I was seeing. And I said to myself, I don't know, I have a very strong sort of feeling that several people, and I don't see them. She says, you will eventually. She says, but just you relax yourself and don't worry and fret yourself like, you know. Anyway, I said, all right, if you want me to do that, I'd be like, close my eyes. The next thing I feel is that I lost consciousness, you know, and that's peculiar. And I woke up and found myself lying on a couch, I suppose it was, or a sofa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when I sort of came to look round, it was, well, almost as if I was back when I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had a nice little place, a little cottage place, you know, and the sisters went with the children, we lived in the country, you know. But my father brought us all out to London, he got the job, you know, in London, and we all moved. But I always remember the childhood days in the country, and this was just like my mother's old place that she had when I was a little nipper.
Yeah.
And she tries to warn us, it's on video. She says, ain't it? She says, yeah. I bet that's in a place that always had me woman and a boy. And he used to dab it to them in the countryside. She says, well, that's just the same. Because I never liked it being married. She said, and then her father, of course, he got a good job.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have been foolish not to take him. And I was 18 in the country because she was your country more than me. It was my mum, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, this is it. She said, what I always craved for when I was in London, be back in my little country places. And then she said, it's just sympathetic. And this lady was very nice. I said, Miss Fletcher, have you got a place like this? And she says, well, I was always in your mind, and I always wanted it. And then some strange way, well, perhaps I ought to like to think she says I deserved it. But she says, I think the place, you know, go. I said, she taught the world of us children. She wasn't like some of them, you know. She didn't know if it was something like that, you know.
And what are you doing now,
Mr. Baker? Oh, well, I don't know, this house is almost stupid because I'm not an educated man. I wasn't thinking, I could be in life, which is more my mouth, and she could be in life work, you know. She never had to go to school when she was a little girl. She used to have to be up early in the morning, she used to go out into the field, you know,
yeah.
Picking stone, picking even when she was quite a baby. Well, you know, her mother used to take her out when she was quite a baby. Of course, things have changed. She said, call me, I teach the youngsters. I don't mean babies exactly, yeah. But you get young lads come out here, nipples, you know, and I'm very fond of children, always was, and I'm able to help them, not teach them the normal lessons, not just the school, not reading, writing, not arithmetic, all that out, you know, but about life.
Yeah.
About nature and about countryside and all the things I've learned, which have to do with character and building, or watching something of yourself as a person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And given a man starting to, well, how to live their lives, how to appreciate the needs of living matter, and help them to get rid of their old ideas and discard lots of things that hold them back. You get people come over here and they carry over all sorts of thoughts and ideas and opinions and all these things are really barrier to that progress, you know.
How do you find what the children are like when they come in? Are their minds more very open or what?
I think generally speaking, with youngsters, I think their minds are more plastic. They're not so firm and so fixed as adults are. Some of the worst people you deal with, of course, are those who've got their strong fixed views, which of course people do have in their adult life. But the youngsters are more plastic, more pliable, you can talk to them and they can understand more easily and they can see that there are any strong ideas that have been instilled into them that perhaps their parents or teachers had, which I think they were not with any help to them, but there were barriers.
And
your
school, you go to
an empty. Oh yes, there's like a vast dormitory here, you see, and there's a vast building. Well, I'm talking about a place I'm working in, a vast building which you could call a sort of college, where youngsters congregate, they play games, they have their lessons, and then of course there are those who teach in other ways, in other things. But I like to be with the young people and I like to play the games. I mean, I'm like a gamer for a home and that sort of thing. The boys like it, they enjoy it. And we can talk and we go for walks into the countryside. You know, people don't realize it. But this is a very real world. This isn't a wishy-washy reality, do you know? We have many of the things that you associate with your world. Music festivals we have, lectures we have. We know theatres, or what you would term theatres, where plays are put on by great actors and actresses, but they're always doing things which, although they're very entertaining, sometimes even amusing, we have a good laugh, there's some sense behind it, there's a purpose, there's a moral. You know, nothing is done just in a fruitless sense, it has a purpose and a meaning, but It's very important because sometimes you get souls who are in need of instruction, and it's sometimes a good idea to show them as it were almost themselves, as they watch, you know, yeah. Give them an insight into their own character and their own nature, and they pick out certain faults or deficiencies which perhaps they're not always conscious of. Mm-hmm. And they can see themselves in sometimes these characters that are portrayed in the plays and things, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's very interesting. I don't understand. It must sound stupid to some people, I suppose. And yet when you think what a lot of people mean about life after death and all that sort of luck, you know what some of those people mean. There's what we say certainly is no more than ignorance, is it?
No.
He takes other stupid nonsense that's talked about and preached and accepted by the religious people. I mean, at least we do tell you what we know. You know, some people may not be able to accept it. Certainly accept from the point of view that this is the world of reality, and we have many of the things which you actually have, you know, sort of custom yourselves to on earth. We have many joys and pleasures and happinesses. It's not a visible world. It's not a world where everybody goes around singing hymns and praising the Lord. It's not a stupid sort of religious textbook kind of world, you know. It's a world of reality in which people live normal, natural lives, and there's understanding and affection and appreciation, and you get together. You have parties, not quite in the same sense, and heavyweight parties, not the point of view of drinking and all that nonsense. Get-togethers and discussions and talking about old times and old friends, and sometimes we all shoot down together to earth to see how certain people are getting on and if we can help them in any way, what we do. Of course, sometimes there's not much we can do.
Mm-hmm.
If we do everything we can to help, you know, not only the people we know either, we get very disturbed and unhappy about the same world. And when we know our need, then the whole group of souls return to earth to help. I mean, like the trouble you got out in the East there. Those crying out souls to this side and gave the rescue to help people who've been rushing over South America through the war and that church.
It's a bit
terrible, this world.
Can you, you say when you come to earth, can you describe it at all? What do you actually feel like when you come from your sphere, you come into the earth vibration? What is the actual change you feel in yourself?
Well, it's very difficult to put that into words because you see, it's like losing a state of consciousness to which you're accustomed and which you're familiar, and becoming accustomed to another condition of life, that is your life on earth, which we, in a sense, we haven't got very much in common with anymore. The chief attraction, of course, is coming back to someone that you now love and who you are, to some extent, in tune with and harmony with. Of course, with the close links you've had in the past, and you're brought back by love, and therefore you discard temporarily anyway your own personal feelings in regard to your own environment which you just met. In other words, you are quite happy to enter into the earth world temporarily, like just to be of some blessing and help. But then, of course, we see your world in a very different light to what you do. We can enter into it and become very aware and very conscious of things that are going on, particularly with individuals that are fond of. Yeah, but it's very difficult to explain because it's as if to us you are in a sort of mist or fog, if you like. Given that we can't see you, but I think one thing I notice anyway, I don't see personally, I don't see rabbits, I don't see colour with the people, with the earth.
Oh.
Not in the same sense that I did when I was on earth. When I say I don't see colour, it isn't. Doesn't mean to say that I'm not conscious of colour, or I'm not in a sense aware of colour. It's as if I see anything around and about in your world, and even with people I'm very fond of, as if it's in black and white, not the sort of negative, as it were, for the through the consciousness of individuals that I may be drawn to, for instance, or perhaps to some particular place of interest in me, through some sort of mental way, I don't know how you put this, I can be sort of conscious of colour without necessarily seeing it. Actually, of course, you see, there isn't such a thing that I'm told scientifically. I mean, that answer, I don't know the answers, but I'm told scientifically there isn't any such thing as colour. Weird.
But it's made up
of. I don't know what it's made up of, but they tell me that colour is non-existent, really. Actually, if you get down to rock bottom, what I can make out of it, in a sense, your world, although it's a reality to you, is an illusion to us. The same as, I suppose, when you people think about our world, you don't see it in a sense, unless you're very fortunate. It's sort of mental, sort of, I'll say apparition, but you sort of imagine yourselves and being perceived according to thoughts and ideas. But our world is a reality. Plus, your world isn't a real world in the sense that it's you. We know through your thoughts what's happening to you individually, what's happening to you as a nation or a group of people or family, you see. And it's through your thoughts that we are able to make some link or contact and perhaps some service or some help. But many of the things that are happening to you are thought creations which man has brought into being, if to you in a physical sense, and you suffer from these things naturally, because there are realities in a physical way. Which you must remember that when we come to you, we are not really, in a sense, fully conscious of you in a physical sense. We're more conscious of you in a mental sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we receive inspiration and life or thought impression in various ways, through various people. But it's never the same in a physical sense as it is to you.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that our thoughts can help you, they do help you. Sometimes more than perhaps you may even get credit for. But the point is, we never cease to try to help as best we can, you know. I mean, up against it, of course, quite a lot of things we don't seem to be able to do much about. But of course, a lot depends on the people on earth. It's only when they start to think in a different channel, or have the desire to think in a different way, that we can help them to a great extent, you see.
So go back to the children's book a bit, I wonder why, when a child dies, suppose they're already on the other side of it, they know, like they've never known their grandparents or anything like that. Are
they
going to the world of them lost when you
get there? Well, no, quite frankly, strange as it may seem to you, children are never so lost as adults. My experience has been that the children are the least problem. The children are the ones who seem almost automatically to be able to enter into their new life full of, well, contentment and peace, you know, there's none of this sort of feeling to get the love of adults. I think that children, well, of course, they're always cared for, they're always people to care for them and love them and to help them. There's always many, many, many souls who are just happy to take in the children, to look after the children, and their schools and their places where they can be guided and helped and instructed and brought up and comforted. In fact, I'd go far to say the children are much happier in coming over there than the adults are. But I think it is the adults have been over so many thoughts and ideas and preconceived notions and are so full of their own, well, you might say, I would say importance, but full of their own inconsistencies, you might say, you know, that they've got all strong sort of ideas about this, that, and the other. Often, of course, they come here and they've got a lot on their mind, a lot of regrets and lots of things they've done and said over the years, and the thoughts and their nature, you know, that they're very conscious of. Oh, no, I think the most problematic, difficult situation is for an adult. Because children are no problem whatsoever. There's no unhappiness where the children are concerned, but you often find a lot of unhappiness with the adults.
Because they don't really need their parents to come, because they feel like their mums especially can go over and sleep.
Oh, yes, that's true enough. And the children are always well cared for, and they're soon, as it puts them, you know, made comfortable, and they soon acclimatise themselves to their new life. Believe me, that's happiness. Was possible for anyone to be. I mean, they soon settle down and harmonize with everything, and they've got so many interests and so much to learn. And of course, if they want, they can be brought back temporarily to their people. But we, I think somehow about children, as you know, is marvelous, really, how soon they get used to new conditions and surroundings. Much worse for adoption, much worse. When is your Mr. Woods coming again?
And he'll come again, I hope.
Well, I'll send a message for him. He says, and he'll come and look. Well, I've been before to see you, but these meetings when you've been asked to decide and listen to the person, he's told he'll come up again and work to me.
Yes, I'm sure he'll
have to. Well, I can't stay now, but all the very best to you, my dear.
Thank you.
And I'd like to come again and talk
to
you if I can.
Thank you for coming.
All the best. I must go.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
It's so interesting, aren't
they? Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, love.